presenting Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves.
CX-4 calling control tower, CX-4 calling control tower, standing by.
Control tower, back to CX-4, wind southeast, ceiling 1200, all clear.
Okay, this is Hop Harrigan coming in. Yes, it's America's ace of the airways, coming in for another exciting episode in the adventures of Hop Harrigan.
And now to our story. Stopping off at New Orleans on their way back to Lakeville, Hop and Tank accidentally bumped into an old Army buddy, Highwater Bailey, and found themselves involved in an attempted murder. As Highwater explained it, his father, Sandbar Bailey, known as King of the Mississippi River Shantyboaters, owned a 1,000-acre island in the middle of the river, an island that, for some strange and mysterious reason, a man named Spade Caswell was trying to take over, even if it meant murder. Yesterday, as you recall, Hop, Tank, and Highwater taxied up the river in the boys' float-equipped beach craft, their destination Buffalo Cove, where Highwater's father was living in his houseboat, or where he had been living. For Highwater was certain Spade Caswell's two hired thugs had already done their dirty work. It was pitch dark when Hop carefully eased the plane into the cove. Swinging the spotlight, he picked out the Bailey houseboat moored near the shore. Standing on one of the plane's floats, Highwater prepared to tie up the boat when suddenly rifle shots rang out and screaming bullets ricocheted off the dark water.
Keep down, Tank. I'm flatter than a snake's belly. What about Highwater out on the float?
If he has any brains, he'll come in. Highwater! Highwater!
I better go out and take a look.
Stay where you are.
But Hop, one of them slugs might have clipped him.
Would you like to get clipped, too?
Of course not.
Hop, turn the spotlight!
Hold the tank. That was Highwater. Highwater!
Turn the spotlight on me! Hurry!
He wants the spot on him.
He's crazy. Whoever's shooting will pick him off like a clay pigeon. Highwater!
Put the spot on me!
No, come on back into the cabin.
Put it on me, Hop! Hurry!
Guess you better do it, Hop.
Okay, but it doesn't make sense. It's on him, but I can't look. One shot and he's finished.
I'm waiting.
Put the rifle up! It's me, Highwater!
Who's he yelling at?
I don't know.
Hop, Tank, come on out. It's okay.
Oh, yeah?
Shooting stopped. I'll take a look out there.
Careful, Hop.
Hey, he's tying us up to the houseboat. Highwater, what are you doing?
High enough. Come on out.
Well, who was that shooting?
My dad. He thought we were Spade Caswell's men.
How did you hear that, Tank?
A nice sociable guy. Shoots first and finds out who it is later. What if he'd knocked off one of us?
I guess he would have been sorry.
That's fine.
Come on, let's get a look at old Sandbar Bailey. I've got an idea. It's worth it.
Boarding the shantyboat, Hop and Tank follow Highwater into the low-ceilinged living quarters, where Sandbar Bailey, white-bearded and gaunt, stands silhouetted in the flickering light of an oil lamp, the rifle still cocked in the crook of his arm. His gray eyes are cold and impassive, almost a little distrustful, as he motions to the two boys.
Son, who be these gully jumpers?
They're friends of mine. Drop your sights, Dad.
Look like ornery gully jumpers to me.
What's he calling us?
Gully jumpers. That's Dad's name for people who live on land. He don't mean anything by it.
Who be they, Highwater? Speak up.
I told you, Dad, they're friends of mine. Used to know him in the Army.
My name's Hop Harrigan, Mr. Bailey, and this is Tank Tinker.
Hiya, King.
Yeah, they got gully jumper names, too.
Now look, Dad, cut it out. They come down here to help you. A couple of Spade Caswell's men were out to fill you full of lead.
So them two in the speedboat were Spade's boys, eh? It'll be a long time before they come back. What do they want?
I told you, they were out to get you.
You ain't talking sense, son. And come to think of it, what you doing down here in New Orleans? Ain't you supposed to be upriver watching the island like I told you?
I come down here to warn you about Spade Caswell. He's going to get the island.
I told you to stay there and see he didn't.
I know you did, but Caswell's got money and he's got the law behind him.
Ain't got yet, has he?
Not yet, but he will soon.
What makes you think he will?
I crossed with him day before yesterday. He threatened to have the law on us unless we cleared out.
And you didn't shoot him?
No, of course not. You can't shoot a man for that. If he takes us to court, we'll lose the island.
I ain't never been to court and I ain't never going. I'll shoot Spade Caswell if he makes one move against me.
And you'll go to court and they'll hang you, Dad.
Yeah.
If you're on the island, he can't take it away from us. You got to go back home with me.
Now, look at here, son. All my life I've went and come as I pleased and where I pleased. I'll get back to my island when I'm good and ready, not before. Spade Caswell ain't setting a date I get back another.
Now you're just stubborn.
You ain't the son you used to be.
We argued that before.
And we'll argue it again. Now's as good a time as any.
Please, Dad, not now. Hop and Tank on interest.
Tank and I can go out on deck.
Yeah, sure. We'll wait for you there, Highwater.
I'm sorry, fellas.
Sit down. What have you?
Well, Mr. Bailey, this is a personal matter between you and Highwater.
Yeah, and it's kind of stuffy in here. A little fresh air.
I said sit down.
Do what he says, Tank.
Okay. Okay.
Now, Dad, cool off.
Shut up. Now, you, young fella, just who be you? And how come your kind is mixing up with my boy?
Oh, well, I don't know how to answer that, Mr. Bailey.
Me and Highwater, we were grease monkeys together in France.
I told you about Hop and Tank when I got back, Dad.
Yeah, I recollect. You don't have to remind me, son. I hope someday I'd meet up with him.
Highwater's told us a lot about you, Mr. Bailey.
I ain't concerned what he told you about me. I'm concerned with what you did to him.
I don't understand.
You changed him, that's what you did.
I didn't know that.
And I'm telling you.
Now, Dad, cut it out. They're friends of mine. You're not going to mix up in this.
Son, when I'm a-talking, I don't want nobody busting in.
It's all right, Highwater. As long as your dad doesn't mind, I'd like to hear the rest of this.
Bet your boots you hear the rest of it. This boy of mine was raised to be a river man. That's what he was. Saw the light of day for the first time through a window of a shanty boat. Before he could talk, I teached him to bait a hook and set a trot blind. Yes, sir, I did. And I recollect many's a morning, me and him would get out of bed, just as day would be busted over the cane breaks to pull in them trot lines he'd set. Hanging from the hooks would be a buffalo fish with whiskers as long as mine, and there'd be speckled back cats with fat bellies as yellow as a hunk of pure gold. And they ain't all gully jumper, not by a long sight. I teach this boy of mine to swing a rifle before he could span the barrel with his skinny arms stretched out. Come fall and the leaves got bright like a rainbow, me and little fella, we'd light out into the deep breaks. Ain't never been in a deep break. They don't know what's in them. There's wild ducks and honking geese. There's coons and possums as fat as Santa Claus. There's fighting bobcats and swamp panthers that scream like a woman in pain. Eh, gully jumper. Them's the things we hunted in the deep breaks when the frost was on the cane.
Yeah, sure was a lot of fun.
Sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
You see, I teach my boy to be free. Depend on no living man. I teached him, and as long as he lived on the river, he'd stay free. But if he ever left it, he'd start paying taxes, paying lawyers, and eating out tin cans. Ain't no man so free as us river folks.
And you think Tank and I changed all that?
You bet you did. My boy's a river man till he went to war, but when he come back, he didn't even talk the way he used to. He didn't think like us no more. All the fight was going out of him. Out of him. He come back talking about owning land and about making farmers out of us. He come back afraid of the law.
I'm not afraid of the law. I got respect for it. That's what law's for.
Laws are for gully jumpers. River folks don't need no laws. What's mine, I'll defend with my gun. Yeah, mister. My boy Highwater come back a changed man, and you changed him.
Oh, Dad, you don't know what you're saying. I got away from the river. I saw how big the world is. And I saw how fast the world's changing. We can't go on living like Dan'l Boone. We got to change, too.
Yeah, you choose your road, son. You're going to have to travel. And I ain't going with you.
You mean you're going to let Spade Caswell take the island away from you?
If he takes it, he'll be taking it away from you. I told you to stay there and watch it. You didn't do it. You come traipsing down here to get me to help you. Son, the bite's been took out of you. And these two gully jumpers is the cause of it.
And you won't go back with me?
No, sir.
We'll fly you back, Mr. Bailey.
In that contraption out there?
Yes.
You don't see no feathers on me, do you, gully jumper?
Feathers?
If the Almighty had wanted me to fly in the air, he'd have put feathers on me. Until I sprout them, I'm sticking to the river.
Come on, fellas. Let's go.
Oh, wait a minute, Highwater.
It's no use, Hop. When Dad sets his mind to something,
It's set.
Well, there's something I want to tell him before we go. Mr. Bailey, a little while back, Highwater mentioned that the world's changing, that you can't live like Daniel Boone anymore. Did you understand what he meant?
Been hearing that kind of crazy talk from him since he come back from a war.
It isn't crazy talk, Mr. Bailey. It's the truth. The world is changing. Unless it keeps on changing, we're going to be in for more trouble. People have got to learn to live with other people. There can't be river people and land people and mountain people and valley people. We've all got to be one all over the world.
That don't make sense.
It makes a lot of sense, Mr. Bailey. You don't like people who live on land, do you? You call them gully jumpers. What have you got against them?
They be sly and ornery. You can't trust them.
All of them?
Yep, every slippery one of them.
Are you sure you're not judging them all by Spade Caswell and his kind? Aren't there river people who can't be trusted?
No, sir, they ain't.
Answer them truthful, Dad. What about Sam Gridley and Jeke Jones and old man Willis? What about them? Yeah, and what about them Horton boys stealing trot lines and rowboats and ending up in jail?
Still ain't the same.
Sure it is, Mr. Bailey. There are good people and bad people on the river, just the same as there are good people and bad people on the land.
Yeah.
And the good people all over just have to get together and see to it that the bad people don't run things to suit themselves.
You've been feeding me a lot of fancy talk, young fella, but I don't hanker to it one bit.
It isn't fancy talk, Mr. Bailey. It's plain talk. Highwater just came back from fighting a war. So did Tank and I. But a lot of boys didn't come back. A lot of them won't ever come back. They're lying in graves all over the world just because a man named Hitler decided his people couldn't get along with other people unless he was running the works.
Well, what's that got to do with it?
You're talking the same way Hitler talked.
Are you looking at you?
Put that rifle down, Dan.
He ain't going
to
tell me.
All I'm trying to tell you, Mr. Bailey, is that you've got to learn to get along with land folks just as the Germans have to learn to get along with the French, and we have to learn to get along with the Russians. And the Japanese have to learn to get along with the Chinese. Day by day, the world's getting smaller. We've all got to become neighbors instead of enemies. Now, before you know it, there won't be any world at all. We'll start dropping atomic bombs on one another, and we'll all be wiped out. River people and land people and every other kind of people.
Hop's right, Dad. Every word he's telling you is right. I saw how it was with my own eyes. Trouble is, down here on the river, you don't get to see what's going on in the world.
Maybe I'm better off not seeing.
Sticking your head in the sand like an ostrich isn't going to help matters, Mr. Bailey. As a matter of fact, the world needs people like you. People with spunk who aren't afraid to stand up and fight for the right of everyone to live decently. Trouble is, too many of us don't care. We don't even bother to take the time to vote to put the right man in office. We certainly do plenty of beefing when the wrong man gets in.
I never voted in my life. Pack of foolishness.
Yeah, you see. You're willing to shoot a man to protect an island you think belongs to you, but you're not...
Now, hold on a minute. What's that light out there?
It looks like a fire.
Open the door. What you standing there gaping for?
Hop! It's the plane. The plane's on fire. Come on.
Flames, bright orange flames, leaping from the cabin of the beach craft moored alongside the houseboat. Deadly tongues of fire that seemed to have sprung from nowhere. Or did they? Not only is the beach craft itself in danger, but a gasoline explosion would turn the sheltered cove into a blazing inferno. Gang, don't miss the next exciting episode when Hop and Tank fight not only for their property, but for their lives. It's episode 5 of The Mystery of the Duck's Nest, so be sure to listen. Tune in and fly with Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves. So long, Hop. We'll be seeing you same time, same mutual station. Hop Harrigan is a copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazine. And is brought to you Monday through Friday, same time, same station. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.